If you believe, assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's a reasonable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Morning, everybody. It's your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. I have a special guest, Dave Patton, coming in today. He's going to be in here in just a little bit. Dave just very well may be filling in a little bit here and there when I take my hiatus, which begins a week from today. However, have no fear. You're going to be entertained and informed right here on 2A Radio. So, a couple of things to get done. Did I get out to the range and shoot my two rifles this weekend? No. Did I get a bunch of other meaningful stuff done this weekend? Yes. Do we still have a pledge drive on RBN? Yes. We still selling business cards? Sure. Okay, so let me tell you about those. The pledge drive, you can donate by calling 800-724-2719. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. You can also go online to republicbroadcasting.org. You can also get 100 business cards for $8. That includes shipping. It includes an RBN bumper sticker. And it includes a free copy of Aaron Russo's America from Freedom to Fascism, which our own Dave Champion, who broadcasts here at 3 p.m. Central Time, was a direct consultant for that movie with Aaron himself. So there's all that good information. Did I make it out to the range? No, I didn't. The weather was quite nice, actually. That we had good weather, especially yesterday. Dave, yesterday's weather was absolutely beautiful, wasn't it? I mean, it was just gorgeous out.
Indeed, sir, it was.
Saturday was not quite as wonderful a weather. Something tells me I was in Vegas all day Saturday. What the hell was I? I don't even remember why I was in Vegas all day Saturday. I don't even remember. Oh, I remember why. I was teaching. I had a client, and we were out at one of the ranges doing some training. That's what it was. And then yesterday was absolutely friggin' gorgeous. You said you've got another project going on at your house.
I do.
Yeah,
a clubhouse for the grandson.
That once the grandson that this is guys, I got to tell you, Dave has impressed me as a very bright guy. He is a multidimensional thinker. He tells me he's building a clubhouse for his grandson. And then once his grandson outgrows it, there's going to be another purpose for it.
Indeed. Garden house.
That's just a smart man right there. I didn't get it. Did you, by chance, happen to get any shooting in with the crappy weather in the building project?
No, I did not.
No. You actually own enough land. You should be able to shoot rabbits on your own property almost.
It's in town. It is 10 acres. But I did learn how to swing a hammer again and run a saw. It's been probably 10 years since I've done that. A little sore today, but I'll get through it.
You know, and it's crazy, too, because every building on your property, you built yourself.
I did. Yes, I did.
Dave's got a house, then he's got a studio. It's kind of funny. I got my way through college playing drums. Dave still plays drums and outranks me by 3 or 4 years.
Indeed. Yes,
yeah,
I did.
Probably. And so he's got his own studio out there he built, got your own house. You've got another, like, outbuilding that's also like another small home. You got storage units. You got an RV park that you built. Dave's an amazing dude. All right. So, guys, stay tuned. We're going to learn a little bit more about Dave throughout the show, and plenty of stuff going on with open carry throughout the country and some pushes for your right to carry laws in Illinois. Again, one of two states that doesn't have one. So stay tuned. Plenty to come. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, with my good friend Dave Patton. Hanging out with me right here on 2A Radio.
Show me 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, welcome back. Now, you're all aware of the whole open carry thing in California. We talked about this a couple weeks back, where you had a bunch of open carry advocates out there going to Starbucks and carrying their guns. Now, in California, the law is you can carry a gun exposed as long as it's not loaded. Nothing in the magazine, nothing in the chamber, nothing in the cylinders of a revolver. And but you can carry, like in this case, if say you're carrying a 1911 or a Glock or an XD or something, you have it on your hip and it's exposed, you can have magazines in a magazine pouch on the other side so that you can load and go. It just can't be loaded. We can thank the Black Panthers for that back in about 1968, I think it was, when they marched with guns on the Capitol to make a protest. Part of their Second Amendment right, part of their freedom to assemble. But then the very next day, both houses of the state legislature passed a bill saying you can't walk around with a loaded gun in California, and the governor signed it, went right into law. So, now this is the concession. You can carry an empty gun and have ammo ready to go with you on your belt, ready to go. So, a lot of these open carry guys were sitting around and meeting in Starbucks. And then in Sacramento, the guys that owned the Sacramento Starbucks, not a corporate store, I believe it was all franchisees, they decided that they weren't going to allow people to carry in some of the stores. So here's the deal now. This is called a new Starbucks policy titled 2 parts cream, 1 part sugar, and 3 parts gunpowder. You got to love that. Coffee shops such as Starbucks can provide considerable entertainment for the average Joe looking for a cup of Joe, when it's the greasy-looking crazies muttering conspiracy theories under their breaths, or the suits with greased hair shouting into their Bluetooth sets, one can usually count on some sort of spectacle. Groups of open carriers, gun owners who carry their firearms in public openly, are the newest addition to Starbucks' curious mix of patrons. Starbucks recently decided to allow patrons to carry weapons inside its stores, provided the stores are located in an area where carrying a weapon is already legal. The idea that coffee enthusiasts can now carry guns at their temples, doesn't bother nearly as much as the legislation on which the idea is based. Though it's illegal to carry a loaded firearm in public in California, unloaded weapons are just fine. As long as the ammunition isn't attached to the actual weapon and the gun can carry a full magazine right next to his favorite hand cannon. How quick does an unloaded handgun and the violent application of which is an expensive cartridge turn into 9 rounds of semi-automatic hollow-pointed death? About 2 seconds. I don't see how they're not every bit as dangerous as a loaded gun. So you can see where the little twist is going on here. Because most gunfights happen in, 2.5 to 5 seconds or something? So with that being said, this gun writer's a little bit off. Now, considering that the Second Amendment, which gives us the right to carry these death dealers, you can see the slant on this author, was based on the cutting-edge technology of 1788, flintlock rifles, an expert could fire one of these weapons maybe 3 times a minute. They were giant, unwieldy, and inaccurate. The only real characteristics these weapons have in common with today's guns, they both fire bullets. Guns today are smaller, easier to use, more deadly, and more accurate. Hell yes! Given this information, it seems obvious we should handle firearms with a great deal more care than we did at the turn of the 19th century. Now, I like guns as much as the next guy. Keep in mind, this is coming out of California, so that means not much. There's American as apple pie and TV dinners. Don't forget baseball and country music. I mean, yeah, come on. I came from a place where one brings his rifle to a remote area to hunt deer or his pistol to a range to shoot targets. We don't bring them to the grocery store in case there's a zombie uprising or a terrorist attack. So you can imagine this guy's a total tool. He's looking at this as though it is, he's looking at guns in the sociological aspect, the societal aspect of guns, not somebody is about to launch an attack on me or has already launched an attack on me, and I don't have any options to call 911 or scream help or yell fire, the latest instead of help, yell fire thing. The only thing that you should be yelling fire for is when you're yelling at somebody who's getting attacked, fire! As in, like, pull your gun and shoot the guy. Okay, most say they carry guns for safety reasons. Are they really so afraid of droopy-eyed baristas that unusual electronic mix of Java Buzz locals at the favorite Starbucks that they feel they need a 9mm? Now, that's the question posed by the author of this article. So, no, I'm not. You know, and a lot of people, Dave, a lot of people say, they've asked me, I don't know if they've ever asked you, are you paranoid? Are you paranoid? Is that why you carry a gun?
No, I'm not.
No, and neither am I. As a matter of fact, Jeff Cooper said it best. I'm not paranoid. I'm the one with the gun. What do I have to be paranoid about? What do I have to be afraid of? I'm the one with the gun. The thing is, if you're carrying a gun and it's exposed, do you really think a bad guy's going to go after you? Now, the anti-gun scuzzballs, like this piece of garbage that wrote this particular article, they believe, falsely believe, that if a bad guy sees you with a gun, you're going to be a target so he can try to get your gun. Now, Dave, how do you feel about a bad guy coming after you trying to get your gun?
It would be his folly.
Yeah, really. It would be a big, big-ass mistake. Mm-hmm. Now, put yourself in the shoes of a bad guy. And you see people walking around, and you're a turd. You're the type of guy that preys on other people. And you see somebody with a gun. Are they the one that you're frothing at the mouth and, ooh, yummy, yummy, I'm going to go after that. I'm unarmed. I'm going to go after that guy with the gun so I can get it away from him. Or I'm going to leave the guy away. Dave, what would you do?
I'd leave him alone.
Oh, you bet your ass.
Take the easiest target, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Take the easy route. Take the easy route. Now, a thought that I have on this whole open carry thing in California, the gun's got to be unloaded. If you have an empty magazine well, it shows that the damn thing's unloaded. Which, any cop that sees you in California is going to stop to check to make sure the thing's empty anyhow. I would consider putting an empty magazine in the gun because the bad guys don't know if that magazine has any ammo in it or not. I'm going to get stopped by cops anyhow, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. But on the way out, why not drop the old magazine, throw a new one in? It's not going to take any more time. Would you agree, Dave?
No, 2 seconds, maybe 1.6.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Dave shoots at the master level. Dave has been, I've talked before about the Handgun Combat Master thing many times. We've had Justin Campbell, certified master number 43. He wears the same number as Richard Petty. But Dave has shot at that level, been training at that level for a while. So, you know, we're definitely on par with this discussion. But, I mean, I'm thinking dump that magazine out, throw a new one in, chamber the round, all in one big sweeping motion. Not too dissimilar from what's referred to as Israeli carry, where there's nothing in the chamber. We need to add a magazine. And in this case, dump a magazine, add a magazine. But there's no, I wouldn't think that there's any time difference if you're dumping an empty.
Shouldn't be.
No. So, all right, guys, we're going to continue on with this Scuzzball's comments on open carry. He says, are they so afraid for safety reasons they need to carry a 9mm? Well, I carry 40 or 45 generally, so anyhow. The answer that he provides is, I don't think so. Well, we weren't asking you, but let's see what you have to say. Carrying weapons in Starbucks isn't about protection. It's about proving a point. It's about both, jackass. Open carriers are overtly brandishing their Second Amendment rights simply because they can. You're right. And you're brandishing your First Amendment right by writing this article. I don't think the framers of the Constitution drafted the Second Amendment so citizens could flaunt it if they were spoiled toddlers, as if they were spoiled toddlers showing off their new toys. Now, that's because you don't know anything about the framers of the Constitution. You're just stabbing in the dark. So, he also goes on to say, owning a gun is not a privilege, it's a responsibility. You bet your ass it's a responsibility. It's not a privilege. Everybody should own a gun. And it is a responsibility as a responsible American. You hit it right. George Washington professed not just the bearing of arms. George Washington professed that we should be armed at all times. Part of the reason was, Dave, when was the first organized police department put in the U.S.? Do you know the answer to this little trivia question?
I do not.
No, it was in the 1800s. It was in 1865. I think it was one of the metropolis, Chicago perhaps, maybe New York. I don't know exactly. Somebody will probably call in or they'll shoot me a message and let me know. But the thing is during the framing of the Constitution, and for the first 100 years after it was enacted, there were no police departments around here.
Didn't need them.
No, you didn't, because everybody was armed. And on top of that, in 1985 it was, I believe, I have the article somewhere, the Supreme Court said police have absolutely no legal responsibility whatsoever to provide police protection to any individual citizen. So we were back to the mid-1800s and late 1700s where cops don't have to protect us. They have no legal responsibility or obligation. Guys, you can be in your front yard, somebody can be beating the hell out of you with a baseball bat, and the cops can drive by. They don't have to do anything. Well, that's pretty sad. So that's why we carry guns. And I'm talking to the author of this article, who doesn't like people exercising their Second Amendment rights, but he's going to exercise his First Amendment right against their Second Amendment rights.
What the author fails to realize, too, is use it or lose it. You're going to lose your rights if you don't exercise them once in a while.
That's right. It's like your prostate, man. Use it or lose it. So I'm told by a urologist. Okay. He says, owning a gun's not a privilege, it's a responsibility. To abuse your rights as American citizens this way is plain irresponsible, and in the end, it only undermines the very right they're trying to clumsily protect. Now, he finishes by, so I hope the next time I stumble into Starbucks and stand in line with other weirdos, all of us decaffeinated, confused, and a little cranky, the local gun-owning coffee enthusiast won't make us for a vicious pack of flesh-eating zombies. You're a total jackass, and your First Amendment right was being abused by writing this article. You suck. Stay tuned. More to come.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, guys, welcome back. Gary in Connecticut, welcome to the show.
Hi, first-time caller.
How are you, Gary? What's happening?
I'm good. I'm talking, you know, have you ever seen this book, The Second Amendment Primer?
I have not.
Oh, it's like a little Bible. A lot of great information here. It's talking about in the United States, the first American police force was not organized until 1845.
There we go.
Even then, in England and America, the police were forbidden arms under the view that if these were needed, they could call on armed citizens to their aid.
So Gary, do me a favor, man. Type that out and shoot it to me in an email, bill@2aradio.com. I've got to use that.
Now, this is interesting. You remember until very recently, British police did not carry arms.
Quite recently, yeah. And a lot of them still don't today.
And the reason they did not carry arms was because the people were armed, and under, you know, English law, the police were forbidden to carry arms, and the citizens were armed. As soon as the citizens were disarmed, the police forces started arming.
Absolutely. You're speaking the truth. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll scan it for you. This is a hell of a book.
Yeah. Incredible. Definitely let me know the name. I will order that off of Amazon. Gary, thanks very much for the call, man. Have a great
day.
You're
welcome.
All right, guys. I'm going to have Dave take over for just a minute here so you can learn a little bit about Dave and his background. So, Dave, take it away. Let us know about you.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Last week you introduced me as a Vietnam veteran, which I am. I was on USS Bonhomme Richard CVA 31 carrier vessel attack. And we also discussed that my nephew Jason was on the USS Bonhomme Richard, but that was LHD-6, or Landing Helicopter Dock Ship. So I went to the Navy's website just to find a few things out. And off the Navy's website, it says the frigate Bonhomme Richard, and after a little bit of research, I think that probably should have been pronounced Bonham Richard, and we'll get to that in a minute. In 1765, this merchant vessel, the Due de Grasse, built in France for the East India Company, trading between France and the Orient. The Revolutionary War raged on the colonies. The newly founded Continental Congress began gathering a small navy and immediately realized huge profiteer success in cutting down the English war efforts in North America. Those successes, prompted the Continental Congress to send Benjamin Franklin as an ambassador in 1777 to advise the French court and garner more European support for the American war effort. The King of France obliged in 1779 by donating this same ship
to the American cause. On February 4th, 1779, the Continental Congress placed this fleet under the command of the 33-year-old Captain John Paul Jones. You'll remember him as the captain that said, "I have not yet begun to fight."
Damn Skippy.
Indeed, sir. Swiftly, Jones refitted the ship, increasing her firepower to 20 guns a side, and renamed her the Bonham Richard. Why did he call it the Bonham Richard? Jones sought out an honorable ship's name that would be equally important to America and France. He chose the pen name for Benjamin Franklin, the ambassador to France, the author of Poor Richard's Almanac. Hence the name, the Bonham Richard. Bonham, French for good man. Richard, for the pen name, Richard.
Richard the Great, Richard the Greek, or Richard the Russian?
Richard the Russian, yeah. So anyway, I looked at, I wanted to see, it also said that this Richard's Almanac.
Yeah, you get, guys, I got to tell you how prepared Dave is. Dave has a stack of paperwork with all this information, and now he's flipping through it because he right, it's just the tracking, but I mean, you've got so much information, it's incredible.
All right, so we're going to say this. The early 18th century, this is right off the Navy's website, urged the common man to seek out roles in the public sphere and shape their own destinies. Clearly, his journal, Benjamin Franklin's, helped forge the will that resulted in the American Revolution. So I pulled up Poor Richard's Almanac to see what they were talking about. What were these sayings? What were these truisms? What were these proverbs? There's a few of them. Where carcasses are, eagles will gather. And where good laws are, much people flock thither. The next one. No man e'er was glorious who was not laborious. Necessity never made a good bargain. The king's cheese is half wasted in parings, but no matter, 'tis made of the people's milk. And then one we all know, just to let you know what Poor Richards was talking about, Benjamin Franklin. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. I'm sure we've all heard that before. The next one, sell not virtue to purchase wealth, nor liberty to purchase power. As we must account for every idle word, so we must for every idle silence. And my favorite, reading makes a man full, meditation a profound man, discourse a clear man. Isn't it interesting that these few little searches that I went through this weekend turned out to be history repeating itself? What's going on today with Fox News, with radio shows like the 2A radio with Bill Carnes? It kind of follows suit, doesn't it?
It does. You know, I've never read a quote that came out from the Marxist that everybody enjoyed. It's always about freedom and people who love it. Guys, stay tuned. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carn, with Dave Patton sitting in with me right here on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A radio show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
You know, I find it really interesting when Gary called up from Connecticut with that thing about 1845 with the police and everything, because what it turned out to be was the police were there to assist the citizens who were ultimately in control. And it was, they were there to help us out. And now it's a little different story. It seems as though the cops are the ones that have the guns. Cops are the ones who only want the guns. And they now call themselves law enforcement. They're there as our enforcers. Right?
Right.
Completely different mindset. And you know how that came about, Dave? It's because we allowed it.
Well, you know what hasn't changed, though? When did the cops show up?
after the fact.
Oh,
after
yeah.
After it's all done, I show up to take the report.
Yeah, pen and paper in hand. All right, tell me about what happened quickly so I can write this up and then dictate it on a phone and have a secretary rewrite it later.
Indeed.
Unreal. Well, with all of that, there is no provision for carrying a gun in Illinois. There's only two states where you can't carry concealed. In Illinois, you can't even carry open. The other one is Wisconsin. Wisconsin, you can carry open. No concealed provision. Illinois, your rights are denied, both open and concealed. Well, in Springfield, I'm not sure, is that where the Simpsons are?
I think it is.
There are Springfield. Yeah. Did you know that there's a Springfield in every single state? I think that's why they use that on some of the different TV shows and movies. I think they use Springfield because there's a Springfield, Oregon. There's a Springfield. Do you know there's a Springfield, Nevada?
I don't know if it's Springfield, Nevada. No.
There is one.
I know there's Silver Springs.
There is a Silver Springs. But, I mean, Dave and I both, how long have you been in Nevada, dude?
Since 1955.
Okay. Well, you got here a couple years before me. I got here in 80. 55.
Yeah. Well, Dad moved here from California, so.
How old are you, man?
59.
Oh, okay. So you got 19 years on me then.
Yeah, about.
Wow. You're a handsome devil, too. You know that? Hey, I got to tell you, by the way, guys, Dave and his wife, Pam. Pam is a dentist.
Yes, she is.
And a fine dentist at that. She actually fixed me up one time. A crown of mine popped off while I was chewing a stick of gum. And my dentist is about 350, 400 miles away in northern Utah. I got when I was a DOD contractor. But like you say, Dave and Pam, how long have you guys been married now?
26 years.
They are like a couple that's been married maybe 8 months. Not exactly newlyweds, but still happy to be around each other and doing all these kind of fun stuff. You guys really exemplify the union of marriage. You really do. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
Thank you. We like each other still.
Absolutely. I mean, and you guys are joking around. Obviously, guys, we told you last week that last Wednesday, Dave and Pam came over to the house. We had some other guests. Dave and Pam cooked some stuff. I cooked some stuff up. My girlfriend, she didn't lend a hand. All she did was open the bottle of wine and some of the beers. She was a great assistant. It was great. But anyhow, we all got together, and it was a lot of fun. And it's just so much fun to see you guys still today joking and bantering and going on about stuff in the past and all the stuff. I mean, you guys take trips every summer. Great stuff.
Indeed. We're going to Alaska again this year and see if we can catch another 28-pound salmon, maybe a 60-pound, and some halibut.
Nice. Now, you were there, was it last summer or the
last
summer before?
No, yeah. Last summer, yeah.
Alaska's great, man.
Spent like 8 days there and had a great time.
That's awesome. I went on a fishing trip with my dad, brother, and cousin about 12 years now. And then I spent 3 weeks up there. What was it? The summer of 06, I think it was. I was there for 21 days. I worked for 7 days, toured around for 7 days, and fished for 7 days, all intermixed. It wasn't like week. It was a lot of fun, all mixed up. All right, guys. In Illinois, where we started this entire conversation before we got sidetracked, I love these sidetracks and caveats. Out of Springfield, Illinois, there's House Bill 6249, which is a right to carry bill, which was sponsored by Representative John Bradley and passed out in the House Agriculture and Conservation Committee this past week. And it got approved on a vote of 11 to 1. It's now placed in the House calendar for a second reading. House Bill 462, another right to carry bill, sponsored by Representative Brandon Phelps, is scheduled to be heard by the same committee on March 9th. That's tomorrow. And is expected to pass right out of the committee with the same level of support. 11 to 1, 10 to 2, 12 to 0, something like that. Something tells me that there's a Chicago Democrat that voted the 1. What do you think, man?
I'm sure
that. Yeah, one of Daley's minions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, let's see. There are a number of bills that you can go online and check out if you go to the House or you go to the website for the Illinois legislature and see what's going on. There's some other pro-gun bills. There's also some big anti-gun bills. Like, there's a law in the city of Chicago as well as Oak Park, and this is what's getting challenged in McDonald versus Chicago, that you can't even own a handgun and have it in the city limits of Chicago or Oak Park. You can own one and store it outside of the city, but now there's a bill that's been introduced by a Chicago leftist woman Democrat who would make it illegal to even own a gun and store it outside of the city. So totally against Second Amendment policies. Oh, it hasn't been incorporated. Let's jump on that bandwagon. Woohoo! Let's hope that you miss the bandwagon and the wheel of that wagon crushes your skull.
Besides, I have my own bodyguard. Why do I need a gun?
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. Yeah, they do have their own bodyguards. You know, it's like the old saying, I carry a gun because a cop's too heavy. Well, not only that, cops generally aren't very good shots either. And
No.
Yeah.
It's terrible, too.
Yeah, it's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. So I got to tell you, when I was a cop, the firearms training there was really sorry. I mean, really, really sorry.
What do you do to qualify? Is it like 30 rounds every 6 months or something like that?
Yeah.
Slow fire?
Yeah, it's 30 rounds. Usually there's no time limit or an incredibly generous time limit. And it's every 3 months. At least it was with Las Vegas Metro, which is pretty advanced. The most advanced I've ever heard of was a department that where you qualify every other month. So it's six times a year as opposed to four. Some of them are twice a year. Some of them are once a year. And these are people that carry guns 40 hours a week. And they spend all of 15 minutes a year firing once.
And have to deploy it in the blink of an eye.
Yeah. And they're supposed to be the ones trusted with guns, and you and I are not. So, anyhow, there is a right to carry march going on in the state capitol in Illinois. You can make your voice heard. Don't miss this important opportunity, guys. It's supposed to be, you're looking to join the largest group of Second Amendment supporters in the entire state, and I know we have listeners in Illinois, all right? The participants, they're calling it the IGOLD. I don't know what IGOLD stands for, but it doesn't really matter. They want to let you know it's going to be on March 10th in 2 days. The Illinois Gun Owners Lobby Day of Illinois Gun Owners Lobby Day. That's what IGOLD is. IGOLD. Illinois Gun Owners Lobby Day. There's your IGOLD. It's going to be Wednesday, March 10th, 2010, at the Prairie Capital Convention Center in Springfield. Starts at 10:30 a.m. Concessions are open all day. There is a pre-rally at 11:45, and then the march to the Capitol at 1:15. So show up, hang out. Have a couple of Boilermakers, a few shots, a few beers, and go tote guns. Yeah! No, guys, there's not going to be any alcohol there. You can go to igold.isra.org. I-G-O-L-D, igold.isra.org. Okay? And the deadline to reserve a seat on one of the many charter buses from around the state, if you want to get to them, is today. So if you need to get on a bus and the bus is going to take you down to Springfield, you want to drive and get on the bus with a bunch of other pro gun owners and figure out your strategies today, you got to sign up. So go to igold.isra.org and check that out. All right. Dave, we're going to talk a little bit about the cops here. New York Police Department. Now, New York Police Department is the largest police department in the country with some 38 to 40,000 officers, right? Now, I heard it said recently, and I couldn't agree more. The difference between the majority of cops and criminals is a bad judgment call at the time of hire. Now, that's not all cops, but it is a majority of cops. This one is in the minority of cops. Good guys. This comes out of WABC. An eyewitness news investigation talks to a police officer who reveals the pressure they are under to make quotas. Now, when I worked on Las Vegas Metro, there were no quotas. Now, if you work for traffic, you're expected to write tickets and investigate accidents, but there wasn't a quota. But if you weren't doing enough, they'd probably boot you off. It's kind of an unwritten rule, right? But that was about it. When Officer Alid Polanco, dreamt of becoming a cop, it was out of desire to help people, not, he says, to harass them. Well, good. Because the other guys like to harass people. He says, I'm not going to keep arresting innocent people. I'm not going to keep searching people for no reason. I'm not going to keep writing people for no reason, as in tickets. I'm tired of this, says Alid Polanco, an NYPD officer. Officer Polanco says, one police plaza's obsession with keeping crime stats down has gotten out of control. He claims precinct commanders relentlessly pressure cops on the street to make more arrests and give out more summonses, all to show headquarters that they have a tight grip on their neighborhoods. You get it? A tight grip.
Tight grip.
You tighten that grip enough, and what happens? Things start slipping through. You hold on loosely, and things will work out just fine. He says, our primary job is not to help anybody. Our primary job is not to assist anybody. Our primary job is to get those numbers and come back with them, as in citations, arrests, things like that. So then the newscaster here asks, well, why do you do it? He says, well, they have to meet a quota, one arrest and 20 summonses. One arrest and 20 summonses. I would imagine that's per cop. Now, the audio recording exclusively obtained by WABC Eyewitness News, I love how they pimp themselves. Exclusively gotten by us. See how good we are? Feather in our cap. Dorks. Seems to back up Officer Polanco's assertion of a quota. You can listen to one officer as he lectures his rank and file officers during roll call at the 41st Precinct. Things are not going to get any better. It's going to get a lot worse, said a police officer. He lays out clearly that they need to bring in the numbers. If you think 1 and 20 is breaking your balls, guessing what you're not going to be doing, what does that mean? If you think 1 and 20 is breaking your balls, guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to be doing a lot more than what they're saying, said the officer. I guess I should read that in a New York accent. You think a 1 and 20 is breaking your balls? Guess what you're going to be doing? Okay, that makes more sense. All right, I got it now.
Would that be every month or every week?
I wonder if it's every day. I don't know. In another recording, the 41st Precinct Patrol Supervisor appears to step up the pressure to write more and more summonses. Next week, 25 and 1, 35 and 1. And until you decide to quit this job to go work for Pizza Hut, this is what you're going to do until then. Do you understand? Asked the patrol officer. He's being quite clear. The only choice is that we have to do it. Now, are you telling me that they're stopping people for no reason? And if so, what are the cops saying? Well, we're stopping kids walking upstairs to their house, stopping kids going to the store, young adults, in order to keep the quota. Now, that's what a summons is. I think I just figured out what they mean by summons. When you stop somebody, you fill out paperwork that says that you stopped somebody. I'd imagine that's a summons. I'm guessing.
All right.
Now, without knowing that, I'm only stabbing in the dark here. So, anyhow, as you get down to it, this cop says, I'm tired of this. I'm not going to do it. What this is, quite emphatically, is police harassment, which police harassment has been struck down in every court in the land. You can't go to a city court, to a county court, to a state supreme court, to an appellate court, to the Supreme Court, and not have probably every single one on the land strike down the whole thing when it comes to police harassment. You just can't do it. They keep doing it anyhow. Because what's going to happen? Well, court says you can't do it anymore. Okay, do it anyhow. What happens next? Well, the court says you can't do it anymore. There are no penalties for cops that screw up. Now, we talked about the story last week, the three plainclothes detectives that shot and killed a guy who was out partying the night before he was going to get married. He was dead, and two of his buddies were wounded, and they were unarmed. But the three detectives that shot him were armed. 51 rounds were fired at these three guys. One of the cops fired 31 rounds himself. Now, that tells me he had one of the NYPD-issued Glock 19s, which holds 15 plus 1. He had his gun completely loaded and had a spare magazine or two. He fired that entire gun, 16 rounds, reloaded, fired all of those, then probably reloaded with this third and final magazine and decided, all right, it's a big enough bloody mess, I'm good. 31 rounds. One cop, 31 rounds against three guys. That's 10 rounds per person plus a bonus, screw you round. And then the other two cops each fired 10 rounds apiece, 51 total.
Ridiculous.
Imagine that.
I can't.
And what happened to them? Nothing. The criminal charges and the state criminal charges were thrown out because a judge decided that there was something incorrect in the processing of it. And then the feds went in there looking for the civil rights violations against these guys, and they said, there's not enough to do it. Now, I'll tell you a little story. When I was on Las Vegas Metro, in the academy, they told us, we've had officers arrested for every crime you can come up with, except for murder. We've never had an officer arrested for murder. Okay, interesting. Two academies after mine, at that time, Henderson Police Department was sending people to the Las Vegas Metro Academy. I think that they do their own now. But one of the recruits that was a Henderson recruit going to the Metro Academy, during the academy, he was arrested for murder. He was ended up shooting and killing somebody during a drug deal gone bad on a weekend for some sort of steroids. This guy was a workout freak, and you know the steroid deal went bad, so he killed some guy. And this guy was, he'd gone through all of the process. All they had to do was finish the academy. There's like another 4 or 5 weeks left out of a four and a half month academy, right? Again, it was difference between most cops and criminals is one bad judgment call. That was one of them. And then another guy by the name of Mortensen, who was a Las Vegas Metro Academy guy, he ends up doing a drive-by, shoots and kills a Mexican kid. He went to prison on civil rights violations. Stay tuned.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
All right, guys. Back to this whole thing in New York. Essentially, what's going to happen is this cop has decided he's not going to keep violating people's rights. He's not going to continue to violate provisions of things. What he's going to do is nothing. He's not going to do it. He's going to go out and do the things that a cop is supposed to do. Now, in exchange for that, what's going to happen is he's probably going to get reassigned to another shift, one that sucks. Probably get sent to places far from his house as humanly possible. You can't fire somebody for doing their job if the job is something along the lines of, you know, I'm doing my job, but I'm not going to follow the illegal orders of my commanders. So they can't fire you. They can make your life a living hell, give you horrible shifts.
You want to quit.
Make you want to quit, put you in a horrible place, send you to some place that's so far now, they make your life difficult. So, yeah, they're going to force you to try and quit. And do you think police union is going to have your back for that?
No,
not at all. Not even close. So this guy has an uphill climb. I got to tell you guys, in the world of law enforcement, the high road is a very, very lonely path. Yeah, you're right. The high road is a very lonely path. And on top of that, it's desolate. And oftentimes very short. The lower road is this big, long, winding thing. It's full of people. They're smoking and joking.
A lot of friends there.
That's right. And it actually connects, so it never comes to an end. It is a big loop once you get to it. So the high road is rough, very rough. So anyhow, I wish this officer Polanco at NYPD well. And it would be nice if even a couple thousand, just a couple thousand of the other 38, 39, 40,000 people he works with were to come on board with him on this deal.
Sounds like a perfect candidate
for I'm sure.
Oath Takers.
It sounds like a perfect candidate for Oath Takers, you're telling me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Oath Keepers.
Oath Keepers.
Oath Keepers. Founded right here in Las Vegas. Did you know that?
I know a little of it.
Yeah. Dave just joined. I'm going to join up pretty soon. I dig that. But this guy, he took the oath. He's actually following it. And all the people that took the oath above him have decided, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to listen to what these guys said because my job is to listen to these scumbags ahead of me and not actually do what I was trained to do and sworn to do. Oh, I got to listen to my boss and do what he says.
Right.
What a sorry-ass excuse for a cop to do that. And it sounds like there's a sorry-ass excuse for tens of thousands of them in New York if they're actually doing this. I don't know. maybe it's time to go out on the streets and, you know, take up arms and bats and, you know, maybe just petitions. Who knows? And handle it internally. I don't know. It sucks. I don't know what to tell you guys. It just sucks. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.